section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
1, 2, 3, 4. When I turn my radio dial, all I hear is pop country. Those corporate jerks sure get on my nerves. That ain't country to me. Now it burns when I pee. It burns when I pee. That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music biz. Cause now it burns when I pee.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 51 of It Burns and IP entitled, I Do. And my name is the podcasting god, Blake Clayton.
Did you want me to do the amen?
And as you hear, my best friend and co-host, the Amish BJ. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well, Blake. How the hell are you?
You would think after 6 or 7 times you'd get the protocol.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you stop, sometimes you don't.
You know, you can be replaced.
I am full well aware of that. My time here is short.
It's always the host that should be fired, but it's always the co-host instead.
Most of them don't get fired. Most of them quit, don't they?
Thanks. I liked it the other way, but sure. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, Blake.
That's all right.
Yeah, you fire their ass hard, don't you?
Fire them like the bitches they are.
Yeah.
Not really. They just stop showing up.
And I have no choice but to show up. You hit me up on Skype.
Right. I call you out.
Yeah.
So what song do we listen to first here to start off this wonderful programming episode?
We listen to Hellbound Glory with Be My Crutch.
Be My Crutch. It's yes. kind of like Mountain Dew is for me and heroin is to other people.
I also have some crutches. Mine come in a red, white, and blue can and say PBR on the side.
Nice. It's the only way we get through. Well, this is a very, very, very special episode of It Burns an IP. And it is the first ever wedding on IBWIP. Derek and Tawny are getting married on our show.
That is awesome.
And you think,
I mean,
who would have thought 4 years ago that our listeners would say, Blake, BJ, we need to be one with under God's eyes, and we want to do it on your show.
I would have never thought it, especially with your track record, Blake.
Hey, now.
Sorry.
That's all right. So that's something we have to look forward to is the big wedding this evening. And I don't know. Why don't you go through the show lineup, and we'll kind of go with that, too.
Okay. Once I beat the kids back here because they're being awfully loud in the back.
Don't they know that we're recording a show? Put them back in the cage.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to. I'm poking them with a stick here, trying to get them back in their cage.
Throw some treats into the cage.
I should. Trick them in there. Piece of candy.
Piece of candy.
All right. Here's the show lineup. We're going to have the big wedding ceremony.
So get out your tissues because, I mean, it's a tearjerker.
It is.
I
cried a bit.
Sorry, I'm already getting emotional. I'm sorry.
It will be okay, Blake. I will come over and console you. And we're also going to have an interview with Slack Eye Slim.
Our good friend.
Yes, a good friend of the show. And music from Hellbound Glory, David Allen Coe, Loretta Lynn, The Dead Horse Experience, Flat and Scruggs, 357 String Band, and of course, we will spin some Slack Eyed Slim, new and old.
Now, if you look at that list, only on It Burns My Pee could you get that much variety in one episode.
That is a ton of variety. I can barely contain myself with all the variety.
And we got a whole bunch, a little bit more things going on during the show, but we don't want to give it all away at the beginning, right? So,
no.
Let's, since this is Derek and Tawny's wedding show, I thought we could, you know, kind of discuss marriage because we're looking at two different spectrums here with our host and co-hosts. I myself have a tendency to not do so well at it, and you have, you know, your best friend and your wife, Nicole, and you guys are just in blissful heaven.
Yes, I would consider it blissful heaven. I mean, we have a great marriage.
And what are the keys, do you think, for a great marriage? What are the keys for you guys?
Well, lately here we've been drinking a lot more, which helps any marriage get through.
But you both have to drink, right?
Yeah. We both have to. And we have never fought, me and Nicole, like big time. Like, we don't have those days of not talking. You know what I mean? Like, some people will fight and they'll not talk to one another for, like, 3 weeks. We've never, ever done that.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the secret? Just good communication?
I don't know.
Or just...
I give in a lot, and because I want to get lucky, I give in. I guess I'm just overly gracious.
You gracefully face down.
Yeah.
How long have you been married?
Oh, shit, Blake. Why'd you ask me that? Me and Nicole have actually been together for 14 years, coming up in August, and we have been married for 9.
Wow.
Yeah, and for the beginning 5 or 6 years of the 14 years, we were together 24/7. We worked the same job. We went to school together. We came home together.
You had sex.
We were never apart.
Now, do you think
except
that
when
time,
I was going to the bathroom?
Right. Do you think that is where your core foundation really grew into existence? Is during that first 5 years?
Wow, core, and you're talking all big and like kind of what do you call those guys?
Therapist-ish.
Yes.
That's the Amish. Wow. That's the Amish version. A therapist-ish.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. I think that is. I mean, we've had our rough spots, you know, where like when we started working two different jobs, we actually kind of fought every night, like we were at one another. But, you know, by the time we went to bed, it was all fine. You know, I never go to bed angry.
Really?
Yeah.
I am quite jealous of you guys. I really am. I think since I've known you, for 2 years now, something like that.
Yeah.
It's been
2 years.
I've always thought to myself that you guys have an amazing marriage, and whatever however you're making it work, you should put it into a bottle and sell it.
Maybe we should. I think they already put it into a bottle and they sell it by the case.
It's called Four Loko.
Yeah, it's either Four Loko or PBR. Sometimes they just put it in a bottle and call it like
Blatz.
I don't know what. Yeah.
No, that's my marriages would be defined as like hams.
Schlitz.
Well, now that we know what to do and what makes a marriage work, so we could kind of, you know, give Derek and Tawny some positive, you know, feedback. Let's talk about why it doesn't work. And for that, I would be happy to interject.
Sorry, Blake. I don't mean to laugh.
Just think, if I had a good marriage, I wouldn't have all this material.
That is true. I mean, half of this show's episodes were based on your shitty relationships.
More than half.
I'm sorry. I was trying to be nice.
Right. You're like, you're trying to make me feel better. Yeah. I don't know. Let's see. What not to do. They don't like to be pooped on.
Some do.
Well, not when they're sleeping.
Oh.
Yeah. No, basically, the problem I've had with my marriage is as soon as they bear my children, they hate me. I think it's something in the placenta blood or something.
I'm sorry to laugh.
They just all of a sudden they hate me.
Wow.
They just see me as a pocketbook.
Damn.
I don't know. I think it's because my penis is too small myself, but.
See, never mind. I'm not going there.
Well, come on now. You got to go there.
Now, I was just going to say, mine's not like abnormally large, you know. Maybe my wife just doesn't know any better.
Maybe she's.
Because I found a good Catholic girl.
Maybe, as I say, maybe she just has a really small vagina. And so your penis seems huge.
That could be.
Is she there now?
She's in the other room watching a movie.
Oh, so she probably
porn.
She probably doesn't want to interject with any marriage banter, does she?
I don't know. You want me to ask?
Sure, why not?
Hey, Nicole. Do you want to interject on this marriage talk? Blake wants to find out what works in a marriage.
Because Blake obviously has no fucking clue.
He needs your help, Nicole. Here she is.
Okay.
I'm going to hand her off to you.
All right. And on the spot, off the cuff, we are going to have the one and only Coley Christie on the show live as she puts on the headset and she's raring to go. Hello.
Hello, my sweet.
How the are most you? Beautiful voice in podcasting.
Oh, stop.
I always masturbate after I get done listening to you talk.
You're making me blush.
Well, I do masturbate all the time, though, so. Like,
is it an OCD?
I'm like, Family Guy's on? That's hot. So, as you know, this episode is in honor of Derek and Tawny's wedding. You know, they're getting married on the show, you know.
Yes.
And so we're just kind of talking about marriages and what makes marriages work, what makes marriages fail. And I was talking to BJ and I said that, you know, I've known you guys for 2 years and I've always thought you guys had this really, really good marriage and you guys got along really, really well. So I was kind of wanting the woman's perspective of why it is that you what do you guys have that a lot of the 50% of married couples don't have?
Beer.
Well, ironically, that's what he said too. Now, did you hear his answers prior to getting on the mic or no?
No, I did not. Oh, I was actually in the bedroom.
Oh, ironically, that's what were you doing in the bedroom?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Right. So you guys met like 14 years ago?
Yes.
And you were together for 5 years and then you've been married for 9 years?
Yes.
Do you not know?
I had to think about that for a second. Yes. We were together for 5 years and then we got married. Yes.
How soon into the relationship did you have sex?
I actually made him wait.
How long?
Probably a month and a half.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm proud of you. So is his penis small or large? Or is it, if it's small, do you just have a real tiny vagina so it seems bigger?
I do not think I should answer that.
Okay.
But for every man's sake, yes, it's huge.
It's fallen off the bone big, huh?
Yes.
So what
he needs to wear tape around his leg so it stops from swinging.
So what, in your opinion, what makes your and BJ's marriage so positive?
I think really it's just because we're best friends. From the time we met, we were friends first, and it just kind of evolved from that. I always say it's like best friends with benefits. That's about it. I know, cheesy, whatever.
Well, I'm getting a little teary-eyed. That's very sweet. Why do you think all my relationships fail and all my marriages fail?
I really don't know, Blake. You're such a sweet guy.
Oh, I know, right? I think I told BJ that my marriages failed. Like as soon as the women popped out babies from me, they hated me. So I think it's something in the placenta blood.
It might be.
Yeah.
It might be.
So
some women get a little crazy after they have kids. Those hormones just fly and they never stop.
How come yours didn't?
Because I'm not a normal chick.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I do appreciate you taking the time away from your movie or whatever you were doing in the bedroom. As always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. And you're just amazing.
Well, thank you, Blake. You're amazing, too.
It got so deep in here.
It did. We need some waiters, man.
All right, put your lovely and talented husband on the line here.
Okay.
All right,
see
bye.
You later. Love you, man.
Love you, too.
Hey, Blake.
Ironically, she says it's beer, too. So, Derek and Tawny, make sure you guys drink heavily together every day.
Yes.
And you'll be married forever. So, you know, one of the Hellbound Glory song that we played, Derek had requested. And far be it from me during their wedding show to play anything but what they want to hear. Right?
Damn right.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say, and they have good taste in music,
yes,
too,
they do.
So.
Well, otherwise we wouldn't talk to them.
Yeah, that is true.
We don't care if you're ugly or hot. It's just if you like good music, we'll hang out with you. Like you
right can, on.
Yeah. And they got cool tattoos. They're good people, though. They're good people. So we're going to go ahead and spin a tune because I'm a little misty-eyed from my conversation with Nicole. I'm a little
she does that to me, too.
She touches your heartstrings.
Yeah, every morning when I wake up and look on the other pillow right beside me and I go, shit, she's still here. I start crying just a little bit.
Here is Loretta Lynn with Portland, Oregon. We'll be right back.
Thank you. and tell me what is the Well, I lost my heart, it didn't take no time. That ain't all, I lost my mind in Oregon. In a booth in the corner with the lights down low, I was moving in fast, she was taking it slow.
Please take your seats. We are about to begin the ceremony. Oh, and also, if everyone could please put all your PBR tall boys and hitters underneath your pews till the end of the ceremony, that would be great.
Dearly beloved, we are here today in the dirty stalls of a Burnson IP to join these two lovely people in holy matrimony.
Dude, technically, they're already married.
Shut up, BJ. The listeners don't need to know that. As I was saying, these two people have come before us to join their hearts, their lives,
and their private parts.
BJ, we have to be serious.
Blake, this needs to be an IBWIP-style wedding. Move over. You know, you're really losing your edge, man. Okay, folks, let's just start this shit over. IBWIP-style. Rednecks, punknecks, and sick fuckers, we are gathered here today to make Tawny and Derek's lust for one another official in the eyes of us, the podcasting god, and myself, the Amish BJ. Derek, do you take this fine, sexy thing to be your tattooed princess through good times and bad? Through another 6 retirements of the podcasting god? And even when she treats your snake rough and whacks it with her eye touch?
I do.
Do you promise to love her even though she sometimes farts in bed and even though she is secretly in love with yours truly, the Amish BJ?
I do. But I seriously doubt that she's in love with you.
That's neither here nor there. Just wanted to put it out there for future reference. Okay, Tawny, by the way, you look beautiful today. Anyway, do you take Derek to be your husband? Do you promise to give him sexy time whenever he asks for it? And to lay naked beside him whenever we release a new episode of IBWIP?
As long as the episode doesn't suck ass. Yeah.
Well, that never happens, so we're good.
Can I interject for a moment?
Don't be lame and mushy.
Derek and Tawny, marriage is a sacred bond between two people. It's important that you always remain honest and devoted to each other. Cherish every moment together and never take one another for granted.
When do we get to the part where Tawny and I get to have sex?
Be patient, brother. As I was saying, marriage is a two-way street and you both must walk down life's road together, hand in hand.
You're making me want to vomit, Blake. BJ, can you speed this up? These panties are itching to get off.
Okay, sorry. Is there anyone here who thinks that these two people should not be joined in holy pee matrimony? Speak now, or get your ass kicked later by the bounty.
What the fuck?
Stop everything.
Uncle Bubba, what are you doing here? Are you trying to ruin the wedding?
Oh, shit. Sorry. No, I just wanted everyone to know that I finally did it. I let a girl shit on me.
Was she a 10?
No. Ironically, most girls that are 10s have no desire to drop a deuce on a guy's belly. She was more like a really drunk 3.
Was there corn in it?
No, but I think I saw a couple of peanuts in there, but I'm not sure.
Will you sick fuckers get on with it? I don't want to stay a virgin forever.
By the power vested in me, by the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee, and the interweb, I now pronounce you husband and wife. You may now do the bride.
Isn't marriage a beautiful thing, BJ?
Not so beautiful for you, brother. Oh, for two.
It's amazing that we were able to share this moment with them.
Stop fucking around, you homos. It's time for you guys to start cleaning up this fucking mess.
I am rambling. I'm rambling from town to town. With some car trunks full of merchant songs. And behind some curtain in the night. There's some red lips fair and bright. But next morning while I have to leave to another town, to another town to sell some more t-shirts and CDs. I am rambling from town to town with this car trunk full of matching songs. If you see me coming here around, come and buy, I won't stay here for long. I could not stay with any signorina, though she's just so pretty and so nice. Some coffee and gasolina to reach next city with my merchandise. I left the girl, she's crying in Chicago. I left the girl, she's crying in Tennessee. I left the girl, she's crying in Mexico. If you don't know me, about Jesus. I wanna sing a song about heaven's grace. I'm sorry if I don't sing with the ladies. Only leads in the bottom with my face. I don't wanna drink if you know whiskey. I don't want to take your LSD. I just want to travel the next city. Try to sell more t-shirts and CDs. I left the girl, she's crying in Chicago. I left the girl, she's crying in Tennessee. I left the girl, she's crying in Mexico. If you don't know that, it's minutes to leave. And when I go to heaven sooner or later, that's the day when I will know and see. When I gonna meet and ask my maker if he wants some t-shirts or CDs. I left the girl, she's crying in Chicago. I left the girl, she's crying in Tennessee. I left the girl, she's crying in Schleswig-Holstein. If you don't know that, it's in Germany.
Cooking chicken back there, they just kind of give me that look like, motherfucker,
is that all, is that all dark, is that
all over your chicken,
is that all dark meat?
Yeah.
Nice.
No, it's just a brother bucket.
I'm gonna try that.
Yeah, just like one time I walked into a Chinese restaurant and I was doing the Chinese voice the whole way in and I didn't turn it off when he started talking to me. He's like, "Oh, you'll have number 5. And I went, "Yeah, I do." And I figured he was going to like kick me over the like the counter. Like he was just going to give me like a roundhouse.
Straight up
and
Bruce,
say, laugh,
Bruce
yeah,
Lee.
Laugh
ass.
At that, hillbilly.
You no fuck on me.
I kill you, hillbilly.
You get out of my store, fat ass.
You too fat. You get out now.
No chicken chow mein for you, kitty cat lover. I like Chinese and Japanese people.
Yeah, I do too.
They always, they're hard workers. Isn't it ironic that Chinese and Japanese people work real hard and black people don't work at all? don't you find that ironic?
Yeah.
Well, now that I've probably offended nobody that listens to our show...
I gotta tell you this funny story before we go back on.
Okay.
Related to black people. A couple times ago when we went back to Philly, we went to this meat market. Well, it was in Chester, which I don't know if you know anything about Philly and Chester, but Philly's dark, Chester's darker.
Okay.
Like, yeah, they don't like honkies, man. Well, we go to this meat market in there, and it was packed, wall to wall. And poor little Sean was just like, he was like huddled up like he was going into a little ball. And we're walking through this place, and I'm like, "What's the matter, Sean?" And he's like, "I've never been around this many black people, Daddy." I'm like, "Oh, God, I'm raising a little honky." And then this black woman's like, "Put the grape soda in the cart." You know, she's like screaming at her kid to put the grape soda in the cart. And little Sean just starts rolling, laughing. I'm like, "Oh my God, we're gonna get shot
right
before we get out." Yeah.
Somebody's could have put a, as they say, put a cap in your ass.
Yeah. And then we asked the cashier why the hell it was so busy in there. She went, "It's the first of the month."
Nice.
And just like so matter of factly, and I'm like, "Oh my God, how do I not laugh at this? I want to laugh so hard."
Right. You're like, and you wonder why you have stereotypes.
Yeah. Yeah, like I'm fat. I don't go into a Dunkin' Donuts. You know what I mean? I just want to cut. If I was a black dude, I would get like a white friend to go to KFC for me.
I'd get a white friend to do all the stuff I need to get done.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Never mind.
Yeah, that one. I know where you were going. Ready to do segment 2 now that we've been offensive?
Yeah, you're not going to air any of that, are you?
I don't know. It seems so good. We'll put it on. We'll put a tack on that and discuss it later.
Okay.
So here we go. Right. Segment two.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. You just heard the Dad Horse Experience with the Merchandise song.
And you might have heard
an album I absolutely love.
What's the
name? Just wanted to throw that in.
Let's start over. I interrupted you. Okay, go ahead.
All right, everybody, welcome back. You just heard the Dad Horse Experience with the Merchandise song from an album I absolutely love. I've been listening to it nonstop.
Yeah, he said it to me. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a little different than the first one. Like, he throws in, I think there's more people playing on it, but I really like it. I don't know if I should, but I really like it.
I like the Merchandise song. Like it probably wasn't the best representation of the album, but I just think it's so cool. Like, you can write a kind of a cool, groovy song about merchandise.
Yeah, I know. It is
my
pretty cool.
My t-shirts and CDs. I love it. So that's why I put the song on. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And you know a lot about music. That's why you're on the show. But you have branched out and become a host of your own show.
Yes, I have.
What is the name of that show, kind sir?
It's called The Happy Hour.
And where can folks find this plethora of good music?
It is on Saving Country Music Live every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. That would be 8 Central, 7 Mountain, and 6 in the Pacific, just for all you people that don't really understand the time zone thing.
And it's like 3 in the morning in Japan?
Actually, it's 3 in the morning in Germany. I just found that out.
Oh, okay.
Because I was talking to Heinrich from Heinrich 13 and the Devil Grass Pickers.
Yeah.
I was talking to him before I went on air the other day. And he's like, man, I want to crash so bad, but I'm going to listen to a little bit of your show.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
So tell us kind of what the show is like.
Well, it's pretty much, I sat around the house on Friday nights, bored out of my mind, you know, just wishing somebody would have a show up, you know, because when a new episode of IBWIP comes out, I listen to it during the day. And then at night, what the hell do you do? I sit here and the kids are watching movies or whatever, and I'm just bored out of my mind because we never do anything on a Friday night. So I said, damn it, I'm going to have a show on Friday night. And Reverend Nix from the Mojo Medicine Show, yeah, and Trig were nice enough to let me on.
Awesome. Well, so what's it like doing a live show compared to co-hosting a once-a-month piece of shit show?
Well, my live show isn't exactly a gem of radio gold either, but I find it a lot easier, actually.
Cool.
Because I tried to do what you do with the podcast thing, and I just ran into a hell of a time with editing, which I got to give you a hand for editing everything. I mean, that's all the work in the show, really.
Yeah.
I mean, we do bullshit banner, and then you edit it to make it sound good, so, or halfway good.
Right. Well, that's awesome. So, I'm glad you're doing the show. I hope it, you know, and we're gonna put a link up to, you know, how to get there and everything, and the time and everything on the show notes. But I want people to check it out because there is a live chat, right?
Yes.
They can talk to you as the show is going on.
Right.
They can interact with you and request songs that you possibly have. And
yeah, hopefully I have them. I mean, I have a 60-gig music folder, so I should have just about everything. There's some things that I want to get, but right now I'm spending my own money to get that stuff, so nobody sends me music. I'm not that good yet.
You'll get there. But, yeah, it's awesome. I listened to it Friday night. I came home. And realized that I you were on, and I listened in, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, the good thing about the show is that people that are going out on a Friday night, especially in the other time zones, it's early enough that they can listen to the show before they go out. It's like pre-gaming.
Right, it's like getting them pumped up. It's like playing Eye of the Tiger before you go out partying.
Right, or during a fight. I went to a show once where a band played Eye of a Tiger every time a fight broke out. It was awesome.
Nice.
But anyway, Blake, I hate to get off the subject, but we got to find out what's up with Cocker's cousin. Nobody's signing up for him.
Yeah.
Is everybody like homophobes or what?
I think that all of our fans are chicken homophobes. Because only one person sent us their address. Now, and I know that there's still a lot of people that are upset about the disappearance of Cocker, which is understandable. You know, they're still in mourning.
Yeah, I know I am. I'm still very sad.
You know, but we have the photos and we have the video montage, you know, to remember him by. But it's time to move on in our lives. You know, it's time to, you know, the best way to get over one cock is to get under another one.
That sounded gay.
That sounded so gay.
It did. I almost couldn't respond to it. I'm like, wow, does he realize how gay that sounded?
So just because Cocker's cousin, you know, Peter, is gay, you know, we should still get the same amount of enthusiasm and excitement over his road trip.
Right, and we know we have listeners. We know everybody's out there. Just send us your damn address. It's not that hard.
We're not going to come to your house. We're too fucking lazy. We're poor and lazy. We're not coming to your house. So
yeah, we are very poor. I can't even afford to go down the road, so I'm not coming to anybody's house. That's for damn sure.
You can't even afford the electricity bill at one of your Amish neighbor's houses.
Yeah, I couldn't. That is very true. I can't afford mine, so how the hell could I afford theirs?
So this is a lot. We're going to give this one more shot. We want everybody who's listening to the show, if you're a faithful follower, if this is their first time listening, we want to send Cocker's cousin, Peter, to you. Don't be a homophobe. There's nothing wrong with gay people. I have no problem with gay people.
Not at all.
And I don't have any problem with gay roosters.
I do have a problem with gay people in jail, though.
Right. Well,
because that's not really gay. That's a power thing, and I'm not down with that.
Right. That's not a lifestyle choice. That's just you want to get a lot of cigarettes from people.
Right.
But you know, today actually, it's ironic, and I hate to spin off of the topic here, but today is the last Sunday of June, right?
Yes, it is.
And that is the National Gay Day or Gay Pride Day.
Is it?
Yes. I read that on a blog today.
Wow.
Don't ask me why I was reading a blog about gays.
After that last comment,
right.
Blake, I'm starting to worry.
It's been a long time, son. It's been a long time. I'm too little and cute to go to prison, BJ.
I'm too fat and dumb to go to prison.
So what this is, what we're asking for, in basically, is audience participation. Which we used to get so much audience participation that I couldn't keep up with it. We used to get voicemails. We used to get, you know, 3 or 4 fan feedback emails, you know, per episode. But lately, we haven't been getting hardly anything. And why is that? What are we doing wrong, BJ?
I have no clue. I think everybody's as lazy as we are. And that you can't be as lazy as me and Blake. I mean, come
on. You got to step it up because basically your feedback gives us show content. So if you don't want a shitty, boring show, you need to send us feedback.
Yeah. We could do a whole show off of like 3 or 4, you know, some participation, like 3 or 4 letters, we could do a whole damn show off of if we had to.
Right.
And without that, you guys are getting the crap that you deserve.
We're trying to give you a quality product for free.
Right.
And all we're asking for a return is, you know, even if it's negative feedback, we're not asking you to fucking blow our balls here and tell us how great we are because we already know that.
Right. Actually, negative feedback would probably be fun.
Yeah. I mean, the only feedback that we got from the last show, I'll go ahead and read it. Do you have a few minutes, BJ?
I have all the time in the world, Blake. Okay.
I didn't know if there was something pressing you needed to do.
Well, the kids did screw up my headphones. All of a sudden, my right ear is not coming through. So, but go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, this is from Jade. And this guy is, he's not lazy. This is the second feedback in two shows.
Yeah, that's right. He did send us feedback, and right. We insulted him by saying, "Is that a man or a woman?"
Right, and I think that's what sparked this email. So it says, "Hey Blake and BJ, and bear with me. I do apologize. My reading skills are not up to par.
It's fine, Blake. Okay. I'm sorry.
All right. I just finished listening to episode 50. Great job, you guys. Blake, congratulations on 4 years of bringing the good music to the good people. See." That's what right there. This fan is saying, "Hey, you're doing something good for us."
Yeah,
BJ.
I mean, kiss a little of Blake's ass, and it goes a long way.
Right, suck my Blake's dick; it goes even longer. I'll probably end up giving you child support for 18 years. BJ, you only have had about 4 months, and I might be generous with the timeline. Of shilling out other awesome music to your listeners. And I applaud you for it. So I think he's saying, "Hey, you've only been doing this for 4 months, but you're doing a good job." I think that's what that means.
And because I said my time limit's, you know, a year. So
right.
I guess I do have 6 months.
Right. Oh, she got plenty of time. I'll retire before then. Sure.
Again?
Right. It might be important to note that I am a fucking drunk while praising your awesomeness, but shit, keep it up. I rely on people like you to tell me about good music because hardly any of the sweet bands you showcase come to Minnesota. Well, why would they fucking go to Minnesota?
Yeah, there's nothing in Minnesota.
Except Jade. He's the only cool guy in there.
Yeah.
It's a constant struggle to tell people that there's good country music out there. For the record, I am in fact a dude, and then it says insert favorite Asian stripper joke here, and it says send me Peter, my address is blah 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 blah, and it says I can guarantee Peter will have a good time. I might have to keep him for a while, as my 30th birthday is July 17th, and I know of a chick who is a solid 7 that wants to shat upon a ceramic bird. I have many other things to say about how awesome your show is, but I am far too drunk to properly articulate my admiration for you and for what you do. Keep it real, dudes.
Wow, that was actually a very good letter.
I know, right? And that's all, you know, like I said, hey, if you want to reverse it and say we suck ass and we're racist bastards, which we're not because we make fun of everybody. But
yeah, we do.
I mean, if you don't like the show, or if there's something that alarms you or concerns you or, you know, makes you concerned for our safety that we're going to get fucking shanked somewhere when we're out. I think we need to have bodyguards for Money Roots.
We may, especially with the whole Cockstrong thing.
Yeah, I think that we should get Owen Mays and Dog by Harris to be our bodyguards, to be honest with you, because nobody's getting by those dudes. So,
okay. Yeah, that sounds good to me. I mean, hopefully they don't need money to do it. So.
Oh, yeah. So that's we just want some fan feedback. We want to get to know our listeners on a personal level.
Yeah, I mean, look at me. I was a listener and I gave fan feedback like probably for 4 months straight. And now look.
And now we're
co-hosting this lovely show.
Right. We're bestest friends.
We are bestest friends.
You're my best.
That have never met.
You're my bestest friend in the whole world.
In the whole world.
God, I love you, man.
I love you too, Blake.
This is special. This is really special.
Internet hug.
Interweb hug. Grab your microphone.
I am hugging it tightly right now.
Well, before this show gets any gayer, we're supposed to be,
it went into the dumps.
We're supposed to be celebrating Derek and Tawny's love and their marriage after that wonderful ceremony that we had earlier. you know, I think it was good practice for us because we're going to get our ordained license before Muddy Roots.
Yeah, that's right. We are.
So I thought that it was nice of them to let us kind of like do a practice run with their wedding.
It was. It was very nice.
And it was only 4 minutes long. That's the kind of wedding you need to have.
That is the kind of wedding you should have. I think that's how long mine was.
You sons of bitches take each other and want to fuck. And...
Hey, I did get married in North Carolina, so it could be. It could have been like that.
Why did you get married in North Carolina? Was there like state laws or why you couldn't get married in Pennsylvania? Or
No.
You're like, well, not only
we were on vacation.
Oh. And then just decided, hey?
Yeah, we were on vacation and we were at a beautiful house and it was right on the beach. They had a gazebo overlooking the Atlantic Ocean.
Jesus.
And we got married right on the gazebo.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people would like pretty much dream of that kind of wedding.
It was
awesome.
Was it kind of like spontaneous or did you kind of plan it out?
No, we kind of planned it out, but like my family couldn't be there and, you know,
yeah.
We were on vacation with her family. So, yeah.
Notice that you had money for a vacation before you got married and now you don't have any money for vacation. What does that tell you?
Well, we really didn't have money then for vacation either. We were staying with her family, so we just kind of sponged off them.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love sponging off family. time for some more music?
Yes. We're going to go ahead and listen to Slack-Eyed Slim with My Name Ain't Tex.
He sings it with authority. My name.
He does. I actually got a chance to listen to it, and it's really, really good.
And we're going to have the interview with Slack-Eyed Slim. I think this is his third time being on the show. So
it is, as a matter of fact. I asked Billy this weekend. I'm like, Billy, how many times has Slack-Eyed Slim been on the show? And he's like, well, there was episode number... Yeah. You get the idea.
It's funny because speaking of Billy, me and Uncle Bubba were talking online the other day, and somebody at his work said something to him about, hey, you should look up what a blue waffle is. And he's like, ironically... He's like, I was on this podcast and we talked about it. And he was like, I didn't tell him which episode it was because I didn't remember. And I was like, dude, text Billy.
And so he'll remember.
He texts Billy and like 15 minutes later, Billy come back and was like, episode, blah, blah, blah. So if it wasn't for Billy, we wouldn't know what the fuck happens on this show. So thank you, Billy.
That is true.
Thank you, Billy.
Thank you, Billy.
We should probably talk. We'll talk later about you hanging out with Billy.
Okay.
All right. So this is Slack-Eyed Slim from the Texas Horror Pleaser CD, which is amazing. But he's got a new one out, and we'll talk about that later. Here is Slack-Eyed Slim.
There's a man in every town, and no one wants to look straight in the eye. They see him coming, and they cross the street, hoping he won't see him. But he always does. He's got that one good eye. Make up for the one he lost when he was stringing up an old guitar. The folks in town just call him Spooky Horror on account of him living way back in the woods on a bluff overlooking the Ohio River. A few of the folks in town trying to go back in his woods and drag him out one night, put him on public display. None of them was ever seen again. Some have even tried to catch his attention, thinking that it's better to rule in hell than serve in heaven. But old Spooky tries to get too close to him, ends up leaving behind a widow at home and a pool of blood in the gutter. Yeah, old Spook's been around for quite some time. When he makes eye contact with you, he's gonna give you one chance to guess his name. And if you don't know it, well, that's the last mistake you'll ever have a chance to make. One day a stranger showed up in town, riding high up on his white horse. Saw the looks on the faces of the townsfolk, and it wasn't long before he heard all about old Spook. Decided to take matters into his own hands. Everyone loves a hero, and the poor stranger knew he was gonna save the town. Spent most of his time in front of a mirror, trying to figure out how he'd look as a statue. could he'd head back out in the morning, start over fresh, seeing if food was man enough to show up. So the tired stranger got home, and just as he opened up his door, noticed something definitely wasn't right. That's when he saw the glowing red eye that was a few inches from his face. Howdy, Tex, he said. Spook took one look at him, and that stranger heard the last words he'd ever hear anyone say. My name ain't Tex.
Sitting at home with my dick on hard, so I got the black.
Hey, everybody. Do you sit around your house bored on a Friday night, wishing that there was something you could do, someone you could talk to, someone you could drink with? Well, I did for the longest time. And now I have a solution to your problem. It's called the Happy Hour. And it's every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time here at SavingCountryMusicLive.com. I'll be spinning some tunes, we'll be drinking some beers together in the chat. So come bring your party hats and we'll have a good time. That's every Friday night here at Saving Country Music Live.
You can say I'm desperate, even call me perverted. But you say I'm a dog when I leave you fucked and deserted. Your dad'll be disgusted when he sees your pussy busted. Your mom'll be so mad if she knew I got that ass. I'm a freak.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Dirty Stalls of a Burns When I Pee. We have with us a longtime friend and an amazing musician, my buddy Slack Eyed Slim. Slack, welcome to the show.
How's it going? Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, this is number three, I think.
Yeah, I think I've been on more than anybody else,
yeah,
actually.
There you go.
Really? I have.
But we wanted to get you on the show because you have a new album come out, and I'm my Spanish sucks ass. All I can say is mustachio. So what is the name of the album?
The album, I'll give you the Spanish version and the English translation. The Spanish version is El Santo Grial, La Pistola Piadosa, which translates to Holy Grail, the Gun of God.
There you go. See, I would have botched it up, so I didn't even try. I didn't even try to fake it. But it actually...
I took 1 year of Spanish.
There you go. And it led you to a song, an album title.
Actually, I had to... You know Chuck Violence?
Yeah.
I actually had to ask him if... I when I came up with the album title, I actually emailed him. I'm like, is this... If I say this in Spanish, is it what I want to say in English? He's like, that's right. I'm like, all right, cool.
So the album came out today, actually, as when we're recording. And
yep, that's right.
I guess I'll give you my take on it real quick. I think that it's actually even better than Texas Horror Pleaser. And anybody that knows me knows that that's one of my favorite albums of all time. But I think you've even stepped it up. And for a sophomore album, you know, to be better than the first, that's a big accomplishment. So,
oh yeah, thank you.
I some of the questions I have kind of go with what I kind of my take on the album. But you know, we've been friends for a long time, and I know that not too long ago you moved from Montana to Wisconsin.
Yep, that's right.
And so I guess my first question is kind of like, has the move from Montana to Wisconsin, you know, had any kind of effect on your music or influenced it in any way?
I don't really want to get into too much personal information. It was
sure.
a big fallout with a lot of people. Well, not really a lot of people, but just shit happened, and I ended up coming here. My girlfriend, who I live with now, owned this really, really nice cabin out in the middle of nowhere, and it's basically like just been a total, like, I don't want to say colon cleansing, but it's the only term I can think of. Like, I'm just a lot happier here than I was before. I'm not drinking too much, and I haven't really had much time to write. I'm actually trying to get my engineering degree at the moment. I just decided I'm almost 30. Like, I want to be an engineer, like, whether it's working for somebody else or build my own guitar effects and shit like that. So I just decided, fuck it, I'm just going to go to school and get my degree. And so I haven't really had a lot of time to write, but I've got a million ideas, and it's like driving me insane because I just don't have the time to sit down and like hammer them out.
Sure.
But I'm really looking forward to when I do get to write again. Just like I bought an electric guitar. I'm getting into electric guitar. I bought a Gibson SG, which is a really, really nice guitar. I never thought they were good for anything other than like metal or emo, but I went to this place and played guitars for like 3 hours, and I was like, holy shit, this is nice. So I ended up buying that. And I'm really looking forward to getting back to recording and writing. It's right now, it's not the right time. So, but to answer your question, yeah, it's totally, like, my mind is just totally clear now. Like, I'm really looking forward to getting back into writing full time.
Awesome. You know, one of the biggest things that when I listened to the album the first time through, one of the things that I noticed was, you know, the production value on the new album compared to the Texas Horror Pleaser album is very noticeable. It's a lot more crisp. You know, what are some of the things that you did, or what do you think contributed to, you know, the sound wise, the getting better?
Well, I didn't really buy any new equipment necessarily. Like, I had all the same equipment when I recorded Texas Horror Pleaser. But the thing was, that was that first album, when I first started Slack Eye Slim, like, I didn't know how to play anything. I played bass, and that was it. And it was basically an exercise in learning how to play guitar. I never planned on doing anything with it. It was also an exercise in learning how to record. And, like, the stuff that I was recording in the beginning, like, really just sounded like shit. And I was gradually learning how to record. The problem I had with that album was, by the end, like, there was three different recording sounds, and I had to figure out how to make them all go onto one album. So instead of re-recording the first, like, third of the album, I just made the whole thing sound like shit on purpose. I ran it through a bunch of, like, old broken cassette recorders and stuff. And this one, I actually did learn how to record a little bit. I talked to a couple engineers. I spent a lot of time on various forums just researching, just hours and hours of research. And we basically, like, the reason we did that, I like the lo-fi analog sound a lot, but I kind of wanted to... The message behind the second album is basically, this is the album that I wish I had put out first, because we put a lot more time into it. I took it a lot more seriously. Everything is, you know, totally, totally different. It's like a totally different thing.
Yeah, and it's noticeable, and it's one of the biggest improvements, you know, that I saw, you know. And also, you know, like you said, when you made the first album, maybe your musician skills were kind of, you know, starting out.
Yeah, I learned how to, the first song, I think the first song I wrote on guitar was Missy Columbia, I believe, off of Texas Horror Pleaser, and I wrote that maybe 2 weeks after I started playing guitar. Right. So, yeah, I didn't have a lot of experience at that time.
What made you decide to go with the concept album? Was it, you know, were you writing the songs specifically for a concept album, or did the songs just kind of generate themselves into, you know...
It was kind of half and half. I thought about doing a concept album when I was working on the first album, but I was already in the middle of writing for something else. And then I just wanted something to write about. So I started kind of like roughly making this thing, and then it gradually just fell into place over time.
And can you kind of give everybody like a brief synopsis of, you know, the story behind the album, like what, you know, the story that you're telling?
Yeah, it's basically about a guy whose family is like really, really religious, and they push it on him really, really hard, and that obviously will push him away from it. And so he like turns his back on God and people in general, and hates the world, and he does all this evil shit. And then he realizes that he fucked up, and he pushed everybody out of his life, and basically ends up going. There's like five different stories, but it's kind of confusing to explain just one. But
sure.
The surface story, yeah, he ends up like challenging God to show himself. God does, and then he realizes instantly that he fucked up, and he has to basically carry out Judgment Day, which includes like going back and killing his family, roughly, you know, in a nutshell. Kind of a tragic story, I guess.
That's amazing. A tragic story coming from you.
Yeah.
The man who writes the best. So, are you planning, you know, a tour for the album, or what are your kind of? I know, like you said, you're going back to school and stuff. So, you know, is there any ideas?
I was trying to be out. I was going to plan a tour. I was actually going to be out now, like right, like on today. I was going to be somewhere on the East Coast, but it didn't work out with school. I just didn't have time to book it. My problem right now is I can't find any musicians, and all the ones that I know are really, really busy. Plus, I don't really have the time to go on tour at the moment, but like locally, there's nobody around here. You have two kinds of people. You've got rednecks and you've got hippies, and neither of them like me, as far as I know. So I just stay home.
There is, you know, a wide variety of like musical styles in the album. Do you have a wide variety of types of music that you like to listen to, or?
Yeah, I couldn't even begin to tell you.
And we've had the discussion before, and it's just, you know, but, you know, to put all those different styles in one album and have, you know, from beginning to end, it's they're very significant styles, but yet they don't, it's not choppy, you know, from song to song, it's not,
Well, that was, yeah, that was kind of the plan all along, and that's always been the plan for what I've been doing. It's just I figured out, well, Graham helped a lot. Graham Lindsay, he co-wrote a lot of the songs, and basically we would just figure out how to take things that were part of one thing but had nothing to do with something else and try to make them fit together so that it sounded okay together. And that's always been the goal all along, but I just think that I got a lot better at it, and Graham's input was really invaluable during the writing process.
The first song we played before was before the interview was My Name Ain't Tex from the Texas Whore Pleaser. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about that song or how it came to be?
I don't remember anything about that song.
I like that song. I don't know.
I haven't listened to the new album once since the old album once since it came out. So I don't even know what's on it, really, except for a couple songs.
So you... one of the things I've noticed is you kind of you got the Texas Whore Pleaser CD and the new one are available through Farmageddon Records. Kind of what's your relationship with them right now?
Well, they're obviously releasing it. They're paying to put it out. They're kind of a backer. But with the deal I have worked out, they pay me in CDs basically. So anything that goes through the New Resort store, like I don't see any of the money from that, which is fine because I kind of wanted to do things a little bit differently. I'm trying to get into more indie rock type stuff and just basically expand the horizons. And what I want to do is go and do a huge press run with this album. And then what I want to do is give those contacts back to Darren so that he can bring those people into what he's doing. So, you know, we're kind of just helping each other out.
Sure. And that's, you know, in our genre, I guess you would say, or our music style, I mean, that's one of the things that I think keeps it alive is that people do help each other out. You know,
and definitely. Well, that was the idea kind of behind using all these weird influences and all the weird stuff that I listen to that has nothing to do with anything else that's going on that we've been involved with for years. You know, it's like get people who don't know about it interested, and then maybe they'll start to see other stuff that's going on that they like. You
know? Which is the whole premise of the show. You know, that's how I started it out was, you know, putting it out there. So here's my deep thought question for you that, you know, the one. You know, in 10 years from now, when somebody puts in the new record, what's one thing that you want the listener to get out of the album when they're done listening to it?
I don't know. Well, the way I wrote it, that's a really hard question to answer. The way I wrote it, I really wanted it to be one of those albums that you listen to it and, you know, you can listen to it 100 times and every time you listen to it, you hear something new in it. It just has so much stuff going on. And I struggled a lot with the idea of, having something that was overproduced, and then I just came to the conclusion that people who say albums are overproduced don't know anything about recording albums, because the production's really rough. Like we were fucking hammered when we recorded most of it, but it's just so much instrumentation and so many different layers, and that was kind of what my main focus was with it, was just to have a really really interesting album that could be basically timeless and be just as good in 10 years as it is now.
Awesome. Did you guys record it all in one place, or did you kind of?
No, we recorded it in a bunch of different places. We demoed the whole thing. Actually, most of the songs we wrote about somewhere between 20 and 30 songs. Just Graham and I sitting up at his old cabin in Montana maybe 3 years ago, and that was in like a weekend. Like over the course of a weekend, I took all my recording stuff up, and we just demoed all these instrumental songs, and then I took those and wrote lyrics to them, and then we re-recorded the ones that I had lyrics for or that I wanted to use on the album, and. I lived in this really cool, it was a mansion, but it was on the bottom floor, divided into three apartments, and it had 12-foot ceilings, and like the interior walls were actually made out of brick. It was really, really cool, and it was really cheap, too. So we recorded a lot there because the acoustics were really nice. We recorded, Graham ended up moving from that cabin down to this junkyard. There was a trailer there that a bunch of people lived in. I don't know why he wanted to move there, but he did. And so we ended up recording in the spare bedroom there. And then we recorded some in the back room. I used to work for a radio station in Montana. I was a country DJ for a few years. And they had another AM station that was shut down, so we recorded in the back room, in the production room, because they had the sound insulation and everything else for the track, the vocals in there. We recorded drums in an art museum, drums in some of the vocals. So it was just pretty much wherever we could get permission to record.
Awesome. So, the main thing is, you know, where can people go to get this new album?
Well, right now I've got it up. Here's the thing: the CD was supposed to be done. We ran into some problems at the factory as of today. It's June 21st as of today while I'm talking to you. The CD was supposed to be in our hands by today, but we ran into some problems at the factory. So basically, we just decided to avoid postponing the release indefinitely. What I'm doing on my end is I put it up for a digital release with the CD to come later. So basically, if you buy, you know, you can do the pre-order thing for the price of the CD. You get a free download instantly whenever you buy that, or you can just get it digitally for $8 off my website, which is slackeyeslim.com. And they've still got it up at Farmageddon Records' website, which is newrootsorder.com for pre-order. But they don't do the digital stuff. They just do the CDs.
Awesome. Well, I'm definitely put the links up, you know, so people can go. And where can people go to kind of follow what you're doing? You got your website, and then are you on Facebook as well?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I update the website more often just because I don't like to be too annoying with Facebook updates, because that makes me really, like, most of my Facebook people, like, I go through, like, the people who post too much, and I block them from my wall. So I don't want people to do that to me, so I try not to be too annoying.
Right.
And I got the mailing list and everything. I don't send out more than one email a month. I don't want to get anybody's nerves.
Well, Slack, I'm seriously really proud of you. You know, you've been a longtime friend, and, you know, I'm really proud of you in the new album. It really does kick ass. I mean, I put it in, and I knowing that it was one of your albums, I made sure that I wasn't, like, in a situation where I wouldn't be distracted. You know what I mean? And I think that's what, you know, when you listen to it for the first time, that's the best way to do it, is, you know, go somewhere, go in a room where you're not going to be bothered, or, you know, and check it out. It's really amazing, and, you know, there is nothing like what you're doing out there, and that's one of the things that I think should attract people to your music, is there is nobody that you can kind of say, oh, he sounds like this or sounds like that.
Yeah, thank you. That's been the goal all along, is just to try to be as original as possible but still be accessible. You know, we don't want to make, like, noise music and recording blenders and trying to figure out what key the blender's in and harmonizing with that and just stupid right. shit like that. You know, we want to make good music that people can still listen to but doesn't sound like a lot of other things out there. That's the idea.
There is such thing as overthinking, right?
Exactly.
All right, buddy. Well, again, thank you for being on the show once again. You're always welcome, and congratulations on the new album, and stay in touch.
Cool. Thank you. You too.
Pop to top.
Yep, I did.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the third segment of episode 51, the special wedding edition, the I Do edition, as they say. I said I do, I did, and I don't anymore. So we just got done hearing a song called Love from the new Slack Eyed Slim album, which, dude, I'm telling you, this is the album. This is the one of the best albums I've heard this year.
Yeah, I did get a chance to listen to it this week, and it is excellent.
And the interview, of always, I love interviewing Slack Eyed Slim. He's a great guy, and it was just it always feels good, like when I listen to somebody's album and I kind of get my take on it, and then I go to interview them, I always kind of worry that like maybe I'm like completely way off base from what they're trying to do, you know. And so a lot of times I don't give my too much of my opinion or articulate too much of my opinion about the album, because I'm always afraid that they're gonna be like, wasn't going for that. It was the complete opposite. But on this album, you know, what he was trying to do, you know, comes out and it's awesome. So, diggity diggity jiggity jiggity. So you are still being a man about town lately in your area. There's been shows happening.
Yes, there's been a lot of shows, and we've had to miss out on a few, especially this week. But we made the most important one,
which was
Rachel Brooke and James Honeycutt.
Oh, nice! I saw them play. I saw them play the last time they toured with Jake Orvis, and of course we've had Rachel on a ton of times, you know, and there's nothing that we can say that we haven't already said about how amazing she is. James Honeycutt is just like a master on the guitar, and he's got an amazing voice. But they're cool people, and that's what I like about them.
Yes, they are very cool people. Like, I actually booked the show at the bar.
Whoa.
At Unique Bar. It was actually the first, which actually you helped me out with that, Blake. You put in a little, you know, hey, BJ knows this place. And then Rachel got a hold of me and we got it all set up. And I was a little worried when I first walked into the place, because there was like the five regulars, and you know the regulars at a bar, right?
Right.
And especially in a underdeveloped rural area. So I walk in and I see the five regulars, and then there was like five other people that you could tell were there for the show. And I'm like, oh God, oh God, oh God, you know, because I want the bar to make money too.
Right. And you
that way we can keep getting more shows in.
Right, right.
I mean, like, I talked to, well, actually, before this, I got a message on Facebook. It was Rachel going, yeah, we got caught in traffic, and we're still like 150 miles away.
Oh, shit.
So there was even more stress. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, God, they're not going to show up. Oh, God, they're going to be way late. But went there. People kept filing in. I'm like, okay, it's looking a lot better. And luckily there was an opener, so the opener, you know, kind of filled in time there. And the opener was about 45 minutes in, and I'm like, they're still not here. So I call, and they're like, oh, we're sitting in the parking lot. I'm like, nice. So we ran over and helped them load their stuff in, and, you know, Rachel had all her merchandise stuff, and which is a lot of good stuff. If anybody sees them, you got to buy some of Rachel's stuff. And James had his CDs, which his CDs are awesome.
Definitely. So you had your first experience as like a booking guy, and you know, and ultimately, like you said, like this is kind of the way I was with that bar in Pekin, is I just wanted to get bands that I liked, you know, to come around. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm being totally selfish with it. I'm trying to get bands that I want to see.
Right.
So.
And you were nervous as hell, but the show ended up going all right?
Yeah, the show went really well. There was probably 50 to 60 people there.
That's really good.
For the bar on a Wednesday night that would have only had those five regulars there, you know, they made good money off of beer. And, you know, they had like a $2 cover charge.
Oh, that's nothing. That's cool.
Yeah, which is a good deal, really.
And so who was your bodyguard for this event?
Encyclopedia Billy was my bodyguard that night.
Fucking A, man. How'd that go?
Right. Really well. I think Billy had a blast. I mean, he he was. I had to use his phone because I still do not have a cell phone.
I cannot believe that you're in the year 2012 and you are almost 2012 and you don't have a cell phone. I can't believe
it. I hate the damn things. I had one for the longest time and I hate it. So I don't have one.
It's the Amish in you.
Yeah, I absolutely refuse to have one. And Nicole gets all mad because she wants one and wants to get on like a family plan or whatever. And I'm like, ah, I don't want damn thing. I want text.
And I noticed that, you know, because me and Uncle Bubba had a baseball game that night. And so I get a text message from Encyclopedia Billy, dude. And he's straight up representing. He's like, he's got his IBWIP t-shirt going. You know, I was like, look at that motherfucker.
Yep. As soon as I walk in, there's Billy, and he has his IBWIP shirt on, and I'm like, "Oh, I forgot and wore mine yesterday, so we didn't look like twins or anything."
That's cool. So, and also, you know, it didn't just end with a show at the bar.
No, it did not. Rachel had asked if we knew anywhere where they could crash. And I said, oh yeah, you guys can crash at my house. Well, my house looked like a complete disaster area before we left. Cause we're like, you know, on the way out the door, we, you know, went to work that day, didn't clean, blah, blah, blah. Well, Nicole looks at me like, damn you, you know? She was like, it was really cool that they wanted, you know, they were going to stay, but our house was a disaster area, and you know how women can get with that.
Women, they do get woolly.
Yeah. So we actually had to leave before Rachel's set was over anyway to pick up our boys. So we run home, and at like 12 o'clock at night, we are cleaning the house from top to bottom.
Nice.
We got done about 1:45 and Rachel calls and says, hey, we're on our way. And we're like, okay. So they ended up spending the night. We ended up hanging out on the porch and talking and shooting shit and watching a storm go and lightning bugs. And I never knew this, but do you guys have lightning bugs, Blake?
Oh, yeah. I love them.
Okay, because James was like, he was like completely amazed by the lightning bugs. And I'm like, well, why the hell are you amazed by them? I never knew they weren't out west.
Oh, I didn't realize that either.
No, he was like completely amazed by it. I'm like, hell, I never knew that they weren't that far out.
He just said, well, I'll put a couple in a jar for you.
I was thinking that. Well, I was going to and then never did because what the hell? Why the hell would he want a jar of lightning bugs?
But you know what? This is another example of why I love this music and I love the people that are intertwined in this music. Because in what other kind of genre are you going to have that opportunity? You know?
Yeah, right.
To you know, you help out a band that you love to listen to. You help them out by letting them stay. And then you all just kick it out and, you know, on the patio and fucking play music in your kitchen. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, and that next day, they woke up and the boys were like right on them, you know, because I never even thought of this, but you know, for them, they always listen to Rachel and James's music.
Right.
So Rachel and James are like superstars to them. That's the equivalent of us waking up in the '80s and like Rick Springfield sleeping on your basement floor or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
I never even thought of it like that, but the boys were, you know, in love with them. And James let Sean play his guitar.
Wow.
Yeah, they became like instantly family. You know what I mean?
That's
and that's
awesome.
What's cool about this. You know, we're all a big family.
Exactly. I'm kind of like the stepbrother that nobody talks about. You know, that like, oh, he was in the hospital.
Oh, no, we did talk about you.
Uh-oh.
Actually, yeah.
Good or bad?
It was all good. Very all good.
Yeah, right.
No, seriously, it was.
He's condemning this music. He talks he talks about shitting on people and penises and vaginas.
No, James actually listened to the show where you interviewed him.
Uh-huh.
And that was also my first show.
Oh, wow.
So I had to apologize for that.
No, stop.
No, it was horrible, but
But now you're a master, and you've moved on to your own show.
Yeah, which like, my last episode of that was horrible too.
I just keep waiting for the email saying, "Blake, I don't have the time, buddy. I'm a big star.
I always
now.
Have time for Blake.
I'm a big star."
Unlike, never mind. I'm not going to say it.
Whoa.
Wow, I almost just stepped into it there.
And I didn't even try to. I didn't even try to set you up for that.
Yeah. All right. Change subject.
Okay. What do you want to change it to?
I think we should listen to some music to get over that whole thing.
Usually we get...
And what's that?
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say, so that's why I was...
Oh. Okay. Well... Hey, while you're trying to remember what you were going to say, why don't we go ahead and listen to Slack Eyed Slim?
That's a good idea.
With Make It Right.
Make It Right.
Make It Right,
we'll
damn it.
We'll never make this show right. Are you excited about the new Twilight movie?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay, right. That's like the fourth thing you said that's gay tonight.
Okay, I won't ask you if you're Team Edward or Team Jacob. Here is Slack Eyed Slim from his new album. The song is called Make It Right. And I need to really make up and stud up on the fourth segment. How can you not be excited about that movie?
Thank you. ball and chain. They call me by a number, not a name, Lord, Lord. Gotta do my time. Gotta do my time. With an aching heart and a worried mind. You on that good road for a while, Lord, Lord. Gotta do my time. Gotta do my time. With an aching heart and a worried mind. You can hear my hammer. You can hear my song. I'm gonna swing it like John Henry all day long, Lord, Lord. Gotta do my time. Gotta do my time. With an aching heart and a worried mind. With that gal of mine, she'll be waiting for me when I've done my time.
I'm not a douchebag. Welcome, everyone, to episode four. I'm not. Not episode four.
Okay.
Segment four. I'm a douchebag. Oh, wait, I'm not a douchebag.
No, you just said you weren't.
Okay, so. I'm not a douchebag, but we're doing segment four. I don't shat on people unless they ask. I don't really think I could poop on anyone anyway. I really don't think I could.
I don't think I could either. I'm too stage frightish.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even pee if somebody's, like, within 5 feet of me.
And, like, for me, like, okay, here's my biggest pet peeve. If you go to a public restroom and you go to a urinal, okay, you should always... You should try to stagger. There should always be a urinal in between the next person unless it's completely full.
Right.
Don't, like, if there's six urinals, like at work, there'll be like six urinals open. I'll be at one. The next guy comes right up next to me.
That's gay. Very gay.
Looks over and says, hey, here, this is where all the dicks hang out. I love that joke. Anyway, we just got done listening to the first of BJ's double shot. It was Flask and Scruggs with...
Flask and Scruggs.
Flask and Scruggs. What's going on?
Flat. Yeah.
What is going on with me?
I don't know. It's okay, Blake.
It's a conversation we just got done having. It's got me flustered.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we are very flustered about that.
I'm angry. I'm mad.
Yeah, I would agree, too.
Friends don't let friends be shitty.
Or douchebags.
Douchebag. That was Flat and Scruggs with Doing My Time, which is the first of your double shot. We usually do your double shot at the end of the show, but we can't today, so I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Is it cool?
Yeah, it's fine. I am not heartbroken about it.
We're still doing it. It's just not together at the end.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And that's fine.
All right. I'm glad that you can – I'm glad that
– I've got my peace with it.
I'm glad you're not just going to, like, make me give you $1,500.
Oh, I knew it was going to work in somewhere.
So Father's Day, how was your Father's Day?
My Father's Day was very good. Very, very good.
What happened?
I did a whole lot of nothing.
Nice.
And my kids handmade me a card.
Awesome. That, you know what? That's better than any fucking Hallmark card in the world.
Yeah, right. I mean, Nicole didn't even have to tell them to do it. They just made me a card and it was even before Nicole got up and they, you know, handed it to me. It was very sweet.
Makes you proud. Makes you happy and proud to be a dad.
Yeah, I got good boys.
Yeah.
So
I love them. I think they're hilarious.
Well, thank you. And besides that, I did nothing, but I think I did cook on the grill for a while. So well, I enjoy.
That's a manly dad thing that you should, you know, you're able to do on Father's Day.
Yeah.
I got.
So how was yours?
It was pretty cool. I had both my sons.
Awesome.
Austin and the G-Man. And I got a package of socks, which I was pumped about because they're exactly what I needed. And I also got some iTunes gift cards.
Which is awesome, too.
Yeah, because they know their dad likes music.
That is really cool. I mean,
my five-year-old wanted.
They didn't have to do anything.
Right, they didn't have to drive over there on their on their big wheels. No. It was cool. I like I said, just having them was cool enough for me. But yeah, that's my favorite holiday. Definitely my favorite holiday.
Nice.
Christmas is shit compared to Father's Day.
Yeah, I get the shaft every Christmas. I know. So.
It's kind of the, you know, toward the end of the show, last segment, you know, we've kind of celebrated the wedding and, you know, at the end of every wedding, there's a wedding reception. So this is kind of the time where, you know, the band's playing 80s hair band music now, everybody's drunk. That's kind of where we're at.
And doing the locomotion
or the chicken dance.
The chicken dance.
All the fat moms are coming out and doing the chicken dance.
Right.
So, do you have any wedding reception stories, like embarrassing wedding reception stories?
I have no embarrassing wedding reception stories, but I have a wedding reception story.
Okay.
So, like, when we got married down in North Carolina, like I said, well, we had our reception a few months later. And we rented a big tent, you know, and got a we actually went and got a hog, you know. Well, I had to go kill said hog.
You had to kill him yourself?
Yeah, we had to kill him, got him everything. So
the farmer's like, you can have this for $50, but you have to kill it and gut it?
Right.
Lazy.
So that was a trip because I was
farmer.
With my dad.
What a lazy fucking farmer. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. But anyway, it was a trip because I was with my dad, and he does nothing intelligently. So he brought a gun with a scope and ended up shooting a damn thing in the nose the first time, and it just kind of snorted at him. And then he made me grab an ear, and he grabbed an ear and put the gun right up to its head and shot it. And then slit its throat. So I was like all afraid that the damn thing would come back to life in the back of his Bronco.
Right. Like
it'd just be really pissed off.
You fucking Christies.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we got the pig. We got the smoker. We ended up getting everything together. Well, Nicole's family's from Philadelphia, and they're they don't exactly like non-store-bought meat. Like, they're afraid of it. Like, it's different in some kind of way.
Right.
Well, I'm telling Nicole's dad this story, and he's like, well, I'm not eating that. And we're like, well, what the hell do you think happens to the ones in the slaughterhouse? They die of boredom?
Right.
You know? So, anyway,
they make them
it was a beautiful
Hank
day
music.
The day before. What's this?
I said they make them listen to Hank 3 music. And they shoot themselves because of the rebel within.
Oh
God!
Anyway, change the subject real quick. It was a beautiful day the day before, and the morning of my party, my dad shows up with the smoker, you know, and we got the pig going. It's 4 a.m. We're up drinking already.
Nice.
And it starts raining. And I'm not talking like normal rain. I'm talking like monsoon. And by the time I went back to bed, because I'm like, I'm not going to sit out here in the rain. My dad came up and went to sleep. You know, the pig cooks itself, you know, once you had the smoker going.
Right.
Well, we got up at 10, and we had 4 inches of rain in 6 hours.
Oh, shit.
My whole basement flooded. It was calf deep going up my driveway in water. And the whole place was just a muddy mess. And we had over like probably 150 to 200 people at our house. And it was just a muddy, soggy mess.
God.
But that's my wedding reception.
Nice. Did it turn out to be a good time, though? Oh, yeah. Did the pig turn out like to eat? Could you eat it, or was it like waterlogged?
No. It was in a closed, you know, pig smoker, so it was fine. That damn pig was good, but none of her family would eat it because it still had the head on it.
You should make that.
And then when it was done, we took the head off and put it right by the meat so they could all have to look at it as they get the meat.
Nice.
I was just trying to prove a point at that time.
They're all like, my daughter married a fucking hillbilly.
Oh, they knew that before. They asked me if I had running water at the time when we first got together. Yeah.
You're like, nope, sure don't. You got to go out to the outhouse.
Nope. We don't have that fancy plumbing stuff.
You know, my reception story is so at Uncle Bubba's last wedding, you know, because he's had three. So at his last wedding reception, like my oldest son was probably, I don't know, like 9 or 10 at the time, and he loves pickles.
Right.
He wouldn't eat anything else. So he just kept eating fucking pickles all the time. So we're standing outside. That we're standing outside the hall that they rented, dude. He's standing outside, and kid pukes up like 3 pounds of pickles right at the front door. Right at the front door of this place. Oh man, talk about a stink that was unlike any other.
Oh man.
But mostly people don't invite me to their weddings, so I don't ever.
Yeah, I don't get invited to a whole lot anymore either. Like, after the last wedding I went to and me and my brother-in-law drank the whole way through it, like through the ceremony and everything.
Nice.
Yeah, and I steal everything from the hotels that's not nailed down.
You're like, I like this robe.
I like this flower arrangement that's in the hallway. I'm going to give it to my mother-in-law.
And I'm going to give her this Bible, too.
No, Nicole wouldn't let me steal the Bible.
So, okay, I know your love for Canadians. I know you have a passion and love for Canadians. And, you know, we're a little behind the time here, but there's this thing called the Stanley Cup, this hockey game.
Yes,
hockey.
Sir Stanley's Cup.
Yeah, Sir Stanley. And the Vancouver Canucks were facing the Boston Bruins. Now, it's the seventh.
You're doing good so far, Blake.
Thank you.
For a non-hockey fan.
The seventh game of the Sir Stanley Cup. His last name was Cup?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
C-U-P-P.
Coop. It was French.
Coop.
My name is Sir Stanley Coop. Anyway, Oof. So they're having this game seven. In Vancouver, and you know how, like, a lot of, like, cities, like, when their teams win, like, the World Series or the NBA title, they get all stupid and they, like, loot and tear stuff up, right? Because they won.
Right.
Well, Canadians are so fucked up, and bitch-slapping Canada, if you don't believe me, episode 39. I think it was 39. Anyway, so these Vancouver fans, they lose, and they riot, loot, tip over cars, set fires to their own fucking city after losing. I don't understand it.
Canadians are ass backwards. Like, once you get above that border, Blake, it's like the toilets even flush the wrong way because they're so goddamn ass backwards. They were not supposed to loot. You don't tear up your own city when you lose.
Right. You shouldn't tear up
your own city. I mean, maybe it... at least do the Brazilian thing and kill half the team. You know what I mean?
Right.
Don't fucking burn your own city, you retards.
Because I kind of Googled and did some research, you know, because, you know, this show doesn't go without any research. But,
right.
Like, Vancouver is like one of the, is known as like one of the most beautiful cities in Canada.
Yeah, it is a very beautiful city. Every picture I've ever seen of Vancouver, it's a beautiful place. And they just tore the shit out of it because Roberto Luongo can't freaking not let pucks in the goal. I mean, come on. You should have grabbed Luongo and, like, tossed him in the freaking ocean or something. Don't burn your own damn city, you retards.
I mean, I don't even...
I said retards twice.
I don't even understand when people loot when their team wins and, like, when they
yeah,
cause riots.
I don't understand that.
But to do it when your team loses makes no fucking sense. I don't.
Yeah, none at all. I mean, I can understand they're pissed. They're drunk. I mean, what else is there to do better in Canada than drink? And I mean, they just. Yeah, I was gonna call them a name again, but I decided not to.
Thank you for using some discretion. We need,
yeah, it's
we,
like,
we need more discretion.
It's like when somebody gives you $3,000 and then says, I need $1,500 of that back.
So Canadians are stupid. Don't eat pickles.
So are Indian givers.
Don't eat pickles at a wedding reception. Socks and homemade cards are great gift ideas for fathers.
Right. And Nicole's family doesn't eat non-store-bought meat.
Right. That's probably the most educational segment we've ever had.
Right, it is. Nicole's mom won't even touch my eggs that are laid in the backyard by the chickens.
What?
Yeah, she's like, I don't want to touch those.
They're the same. They're actually better than the ones that she buys.
Right. There's not any crap in them, but I'm done with telling them it.
Fuck them.
So.
Fuck them.
Yep.
Joke them if they can't take a fuck.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, my friend, as always, it's been a pleasure to have you by my side.
It has been a pleasure to be here, Blake. I do love co-hosting this show, and I would be devastated. Well, let me rephrase that. I will be devastated when you replace me in five more shows. When you fire my ass.
We'll have a goodbye show.
Yeah.
Goodbye to BJ's.
Wow. That would be the first goodbye show that IBWIP
ever had
that wasn't related to you.
Oh. Nice.
Sorry, I had to do it.
That's fine. That's good. Well, thank you to all the bands who don't know that we're putting their songs on this show.
Yeah, thanks for all the non-support.
Right. All the fans who don't support us. Don't even put like on the iTunes store or whatever. We love everyone.
Yeah, we do love all you guys. I mean, seriously. But
yeah, you know what?
We like to.
I have an idea. You know, because Muddy Roots is coming up in September. I have a really good idea. We're gonna put out four different shows on one day.
And get like Monkey Joe Bucket Futch to do the fucking album covers too. Oh, that would. We just got in trouble.
That would. We should do it, though.
We should. On a certain day in September, we should do four episodes in one day.
And just have them be the shittiest shows we've ever. We'll just sit here. We'll just sit here with sound effects and stuff. we'll just like record you slaughtering a pig.
And I'll get an auctioneer.
And I'll play.
I wonder.
No, wait. And then I'll on the other episode, we'll play the Ramones backwards.
Fuck yeah. That would be awesome. We got to do this.
Oh, God. I love you, PJ. You're a good man.
I love you too, Blake.
So every wedding reception has the first bride and groom dance. And this wouldn't be a wedding show without that first dance for Derek and Tawny.
And this is a good dance.
This, I couldn't even have come up with this myself. Derek came up with this on his own. But this is a special It Burns an IP shout out to these two lovebirds who I hope make years and years and years of sexy time. I hope she doesn't beat him like she has been prior to the wedding. But
and he gets plenty of south mouth.
Right. The good old days.
Get your hank on.
I was gonna tell him that once he gets married, he doesn't get south mouth anymore. That doesn't happen.
It still does for me.
Okay, rub it in, mister. I had the perfect marriage.
Sorry.
That's okay. So we're going to play a special song. The bride and groom, if they would get up now in their living room and hold each other tight for the special David Allan Coe song entitled Fucking in the Butt.
Right on.
And that's followed by the second of BJ's double shot. BJ, why don't you go ahead and introduce that one?
All right. This one's actually for Tawny and Derek, too. It's 357 String Band with The Days in Grave. I think they both really, really like this song, so this goes out to you guys. Love you both.
All right. Thanks again, BJ. Derek, Tawny, thank you for bringing the special moment of your life into ours. And
yes, congratulations, guys.
Yeah. I hope they do a better job than I've done. But if there's fucking in the butt, you know it's gonna work out in the long run.
It should.
That's why gays stay together.
Fucking in the butt.
Fucking in the butt.
I'd like to fuck the shit out of you. 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 Please put my gland in your hand. Hey, please put my gland in your hand. Hey, please put my gland in your hand. Please put my gland in your hand. Baby, won't you give me some head? Hey, baby, won't you give me some head? Baby, won't you give me some head? Baby, won't you give me some head? We like to eat lunch down at the Y. We like to eat lunch down at the Y. We like to eat lunch down at the Y.
Why? Because we love you. Hi, I'm David, and these are my friends. We've enjoyed doing this album for you. And we'd like to especially dedicate this album to all the members of the Mickey Mouse Fan Club, and also to you, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are. And I'd like to
fuck the shit out of you. I'd like to fuck the shit out of you. I'd like to fuck the shit out of you. I'd like to fuck the shit out of you. Fucking in the butt.
Fucking in the butt.
Fucking in the butt.
Like the hills
hills as they rise, like the stones crippling under your feet, like the dead open skies. One damn time you need something to drink, like the road ever long. Let the suffering without a song, like all doors open wide. The one damn time that you need a place to hide, it's been a long time coming. And on my pages, fingers stayed, and though my heart is still pumping across my face, how the days in gray. My fist in your eye, and I don't care if it don't solve a goddamn thing. And so we stray to our corners, we fight and we pray, till the road that was is blown all to hell, probably by us. It's been a long on my pages, fingers stayed, and now my heart is still pumping across my face, how the days in gray.
How do you? What does it sound like when you fart?
Really bad.
It smells really bad.
My hat.
Yeah.
My hat. Why does it smell bad when you fart?
Why?
Hey, tell Blake you pooped a baby arm today.
I pooped a baby arm.
Nice. Oh, that's funny. Did it have corn in it?
No.
Did it have peanuts in it?
No.
Hey.
Oh, you guys are killing me.
It's time to go back in your room, guys.
Blah blah blah.
Say bye to Blake.
Blah blah blah.
Calm down. All right, get back in your room. Holy crap, these kids are wired.
Jeez, man, what's going on there?
What's that?
What's going on?
Cut out.
What's going on there?
I don't know. They've been damn hyper all day.
That's funny.
Are you a blogger, a podcaster, not happy with your web host? Check out HostGator.com, where you'll find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs, and free site builder with easy control panel. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code Section8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.